Okay, so after Rye, what was up next? Was it you guys going to Coney Island, Long Island Adventureland, New England?
Well, actually, there's one thing I forgot to mention about Rye.
Oh, okay.
I did the, you know, the sky skater, the little teeter-totter type ride.
Kind of.
You know, most famously, the bigger version that's out there is the one that's on the Stratosphere in Las Vegas.
Yes. Yeah. I know what you're
Yeah.
talking about.
They have one of these. It's very small. It's right next to the family flyer. And I was like, I want to ride that. I got on this thing. And if you don't know, it's basically like, it looks like a teeter-totter. And have a vehicle that's on a track. And it tilts back and forth. And it goes, it drops down. And there's magnetic brakes at the end of the track to stop it. Well, if you're in the front seat, you go so far down the track that you can't see the track anymore. And despite this thing being like 10 feet tall, it is probably the most scared I've been on anything in recent memory. It's just that like perception of we just went past the end of the track. Holy crap.
I was just saying, isn't it kind of like it's like at the end of a row of games buildings?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and then like you said, it's kind of between that and the family flyer ride.
Yeah, it's right next to Family Flyer. It's just it was so freaky that you know it's just your mind is like I know we're okay, but like there's no more track left. It just makes me think, oh my God, the one in Las Vegas that is you know, and literally if we fell off the track, we would probably just get some bruises because you're like inches above the ground. Just the fact of the matter that the one in Las Vegas is 1,000 feet off the track or off the ground, like. Oh my God, it makes me more excited and terrified to ride that one. So,
You know what? I was terrified of like looking at it,
yeah,
and the Stratosphere one specifically. And then
right,
I looked at the ride beforehand. I saw that there's like an attenuator sort of thing at the end of it.
yeah.
That theoretically, if the magnets just stopped working, like if there was like a polar switch in the middle of the ride, and somehow the magnets ceased to function, like at least it would hit that thing, and then you'd be fine.
Yeah, but
So
still,
after I
you're.
saw that, I actually felt a lot better, though it is still a bit disarming to be staring straight down in that fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I knew all about that. It's still something in my mind said.
Yeah, it's not a natural feeling, that's for
No,
sure.
like, all of a sudden I feel my heart beating, and I'm like, I've never felt this before on a thrill ride. What the hell? I got off it. I was terrified. I was just like, oh my God, it's. I guess it's what normal people feel on a roller coaster. Wow. So, and then we also did their whip. I've completely forgot this park had a whip. You know,
There's a great whip, actually.
yeah, like I've forgotten, like this is like I thought, you know, I think we mentioned the last podcast about all the whips that we knew about, and I completely this blank one. And this one was good for some of the wrong reasons. The slack on the cable that the all the cars are connected to was very, very loose. So when we were coming around the front alley of it, the actual cable was probably like a foot off of the track, which I've seen before, but not to this extent. And like halfway down the length of the straightaways, like it was then picking up all the slack and like giving us a mini whip into the side of the track. It was different. So, but I don't know, it was really neat. Definitely one of the better whips too. Probably I'd probably say it's my second favorite one of the old classic ones. So, but anyways, after Rye, since we left Rye so late, we decided not to do a wristband at Quasi up in Middlebury, Connecticut. I actually didn't even ride anything. My friend just took got tickets for the two coasters. They have a Herschel Little Dipper, which is one of the oldest running steel coasters in the United States, if not the world. It goes back to the early 50s. So, and then he rode the Wooden Warrior, and he's you know that it's a Gravity Group built in 2011, first coaster to have the gravity the Timberliner trains, and you know it's probably one of the best wooden coasters under 40 feet.
Oh,
Besides,
easy.
I'm sorry?
Easily so. It's a very good ride.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah, but you know, since I've been up there, and you know, I was just like, oh, just save the money. You know, I'll be up there again, and I'll, you know, just the prospect of only riding it once is like, I know I'm gonna ride it. Want to ride it more than once if I ride it once. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just took a seat out on the bench and enjoyed the nice weather.
It's kind of like a situation of like you can't have just one Lay's potato chip.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So that basis, just skip it entirely. I mean, yeah.
That's fair. I was on it last year anyways, so no big deal.
Yeah. All right.
Then we move.
What's coming next then?
Oh, Lake Compounds.
Yeah.
For Connecticut.
So, you know, much love to Jerry Brick, who I had on the podcast, but Wildcat's still not open, even now, I believe.
Nope.
I think they had some Acers on it last weekend.
I've heard things. I have no idea. That sounds a little weird. But
yeah, I heard it was some sort of strange deal where they somehow got Acers on it, like a ride before it was certified. But that's all I know. It's a very limited amount of info. But it wasn't open for you, I'm going to guess, because it's still not open for anyone else.
Nope. It was definitely nothing was going on.
What do you think of Boulder Dash?
Oh, okay. Boulder Dash. So, you know, this year it's had a little bit of a change. You know, the last part of the ride where it used to have a trick track. I don't know, like 5-10 years ago or so. I'm not sure exactly when it was modified.
Yeah, it's about it's probably closer to like 10 years ago.
Yeah, removed the trick track and added a little bunny hop, making it like a double down with a hop and then a double up, which was just an intense moment because it was just like 5 moments of airtime within probably 5 seconds practically. And, you know, when I heard about the renovation last year, I took a little emergency trip up in October. Also to try out the Haunted Graveyard, which, by the way, if anyone is has the chance to go to the Haunted Graveyard, their Halloween haunt type deal, definitely do it. If you start to finish walking through that thing, it takes practically an hour.
Yeah, they have an excellent Halloween item.
Yeah. I went by myself, but immediately I got back and texted some friends like, we need to go up. You need to try this thing. First of all, Boulder Dash night rides. I mean, need I say more? And second of all, the Haunted Graveyard is just amazing. But when I found out about the changes, I knew I needed one last ride. And I knew it was one less airtime moment now. So it's definitely not as good. But at the same time, it didn't make it so thinking my number three is El Toro after Boulder Dash. And I was thinking, do I prefer El Toro over this with this little tiny change? And the answer is no. It's still just as good. It's just, you know, just a slightly less as good. So, yeah.
I think it was running really well when I was there. Did you recall if you got the blue or green train?
Oh, dear God. Blue. Yes, okay. It was definitely blue.
Okay. My recollection is I also got blue, and blue was running very well. I've heard the green train is not running as well.
Okay.
But these are kind of the minor things that, like, if you're a wood coaster person.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
These are the things that we notice big time, and then people that aren't wood coaster people don't know to look or care so much. But man, they are such, like, if you haven't, you know, done a full teardown of one train versus another, there's a big difference there. I mean, little things, you know, a bearing is seized in one wheel in one car has a tremendous overall effect on the speed of the ride.
Sure. And, you know, I feel like the greatest determination of how good that ride is running is when you get to the turnaround, there's some anti-rollbacks on the hill leading up to the turnaround, and like we're going over that and it was just like a machine gun hearing all the clicks. Whereas I know I've had rides where you can practically count every single click.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I was going over and it was like a machine gun. I'm like, oh yeah, it's running good tonight. Oh yeah.
I remember when I ran it many, many moons ago. I mean,
yeah.
Generally speaking, wood coasters run better in the summertime.
Sure.
For everybody that's out there, there's some mythology about when wood coasters run better than other times. But generally speaking, they run well when they're really hot. And The way it's been explained to me by maintenance people is that depending on the amount of grease that they use to pack around the wheels and the bearings, they can kind of free those up a little bit and get a little bit more speed.
Or if you overpack it, you can slow it down.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, a lot of times when they were doing the coaster events, or I was, when I was working there, you know, for like a 4-year period, if I knew that friends of mine were coming, I could tell the maintenance guy and he would make sure to remove the grease that could run a little bit faster.
Yeah.
But you know, there's significant differences in terms of the speed. I mean, you would have some nights in August where the cycle time from when it dropped off the top of the chain, I mean, it's a slow turn up there. Obviously you get to the first drop once you drop off the chain of the lift hill on Boulder Dash, but it would drop off that to the time it hit the brake run. It would clock in right around 65 seconds flat. Whereas, you know, you'd have coaster enthusiasts coming for Rock Boulder Fest in October. And, you know, they're like, oh man, the night rides are when it's super fastest, you know, and it's, you know, it's 43 degrees out and it's dark. And it was never hot to begin with that day. And it's running at like 71 seconds.
Yeah. It's all perception, really.
It's all perception. Night. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it, legitimately, if it's running really, really well, it's going to run in summer really, really well. And when it's fast, really fast.
Yeah, definitely when I went up for the Haunted Graveyard last year, it was definitely some of my favorite rides because it was very misty and kind of creepy and you know, very dark. But at the same time, I knew it was running slow. It felt it. But yeah, it were still some of the best rides I've had on it just because of the environmental conditions, more or less. So, but yeah, we had a good time. We did the Rapids ride, which is a lot of fun. Walked by the unfortunately closed Sky Ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it'd be nice if, you know, if they were to, you know, put gondolas on there, enclosed gondolas to solve the problem that they're afraid of happening, you know, incident of like Great Escape. But then again, you know, a lot of costs associated with that, but you know.
Yeah, you know, again, because it's one of those things where I have, you know, a personal relationship with Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say a lot about it. It disappoints me that it's gone. And that's not the most I'm going to go into it, you know.
I understand from their perspective of, oh no, what, you know, what if we have an incident like Great Escape? That will be way worse for us. So
I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it, I would say. I know from having been, I've climbed that mountain.
Yeah.
I did it in 2004. It was me and one guy from security, and I volunteered, and the guy from security was pretty much just told you have to go do it. Go clean under the mountain for the start of the season.
Oh, okay.
And I can tell you from having gone up that thing, that's tough, and it's a challenge to go up it for sure. You know, even though there's some pathways that you can access from the side using an ATV to get to the area above, I want to say Tower 7, where it kind of flattens out a little bit.
Right, right.
The area around like 6 and 7, those two towers, is rough. And, you know, trying to train for evacs on that ride between towers like 1 and 2 and 3, where it's not quite as abrupt, is a challenge then. And I used to look at Tower 6 and 7 and be like, my God, I have no idea if this thing needs to be evac'd, how we're going to do it. The actual plan of doing an evac on that ride, we were estimating that it would take 12 hours.
Sure.
And we were not going to be receiving any assistance from the fire department.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you would do that.
Yeah. I mean, these are the things that, you know, at this point, now that the ride's closed, it's a little bit easier to talk about it. And I think that those things played as big a role into the decision that it was closed than anything. But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speculate on that too much because, again, Jerry looked at the incident at Great Escape and that was kind of the final straw. But I imagine that there was a lot more to it than that simply because that possibility has always existed. Like, you can always fall out of a chairlift. That happens. You know,
I've seen people.
I knew that was a possibility.
I mean, I've seen people be idiots at ski resorts and do it on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure that that's that's not the first time that they ever perceived that that was a possibility. It's just that I think there's more to it than that in terms of the decision behind it. It may have been ultimately something that they could point at as like a good excuse that, you know, kind of validated some feelings that they may have had for other reasons. Because it's also 20 years old at this point. It was installed in 97. And, you know, the older they get, the more prone they are to failures. There's a lot of challenges with that ride in terms of, you know, closing it in bad weather because of the length of it. But that's, like I said, at this point, it's, you know, then that gets like into the realm of speculation. All I know is what's been said thus far about it being closed. And I have to go with that. Sorry to hijack you on that one.
That's okay. My opinion was it would be nice to see them convert it to enclosed gondolas.
I agree. I think it would be wonderful. To me, it's such a unique attraction for any major amusement park in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. The closest being Knoebels, really.
Yeah, and Knoebels is not bad. It's a good chairlift, but I mean, in all honesty, it kind of pales in comparison.
Yeah, I mean, its vertical difference isn't even as tall as King the Ka, if you want to put it into perspective. It's like 400 or so feet.
Yeah, and you know, this is massive. I mean,
do you know what the vertical change of that is?
I used to know it.
It's got to be at least a half a mile, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's half a mile. It's not quite that big, but it's big. You know, I used to have the manual procedures for all these things sitting around. I still have them. I think they're in a bin somewhere in the crawl space. I probably transported all of them. It's big. I can tell you it's really big. And, you know, when you get to the top of it on a nice clear day, you look out and you can see the city of Hartford skyline, which is a good 20 miles away. And it's not like you're, you know, barely seeing it. Like it's very distinguishable when you're up there. And you look out and, you know, my recollection is that you can see, on occasion, you can see Long Island Sound, which is like preposterously far.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I had no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, cause you're on top of Mount Southington. I mean, the mountain itself has got to be a couple thousand feet above sea level at the peak. So yeah, it's up there. It's way up there. Anyways, did you guys do Ghost?
Yeah. Sorry for that tangent. We did, because I had heard from you that they'd fixed the targets, which were terrible last year. We did it, and we enjoyed it. I actually thought they made it a little too easy, though.
Yeah, it has a much wider beam with the new guns.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. I mean, when you shot the old guns, it was basically like a laser pointer.
Yeah, you had no idea. And you kind of didn't know what was going on. So, no, but it's funner now, though. I mean, I think it's a vast improvement. We got off of it last year, and we wrote it last year, and he's like, we wrote it last year? I don't even remember. I'm like, yeah, it was that much of a disappointment that you didn't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
But definitely enjoyed it a lot more, even if it felt too easy. But at the same time, that's fun to do better than you should, probably. We also did a log flume, which I don't know if I've ever done before. It's beautiful up there, the log flume. It just goes up to the top of the mountain. You're splashing past boulders. It was a lot of fun. Capacity is kind of terrible, though.
Yeah, I don't know how many boats are running out these days.
Couldn't have been more than 8.
You know what? It used to have a split station, I thought.
They were using it, but, like, you know, they had like two operators, one where you really could have used 3, because the operator that was seating everybody was also dispatching and was also, you know, grouping.
Yeah, they should have more people. Yeah.
I don't think there was more than 8.
We're staffing, I don't know. But you know what? I also know that they have, do you want to say anything about that?
Okay.
But they also have, there's also more challenges in terms of being able to have the same level of funding because, you know, they're no longer a family owned park.
Oh, okay. Anyways, we also had to do the Pinks.
Mm-hmm.
Get some hot dogs. I mean, since I'm pretty much probably not going to get to Cedar Point this year, this is my only chance. So definitely had to get the Pinks. And then for some reason, I always get funnel cake at Lake Compens. I'm sure other parks have the same kind of offerings as them, but I've just decided that this is my go-to, get a get a funnel cake park. And I know this might sound disgusting, but the peanut butter and jelly funnel cake is delicious.
Sounds really good, actually. I
don't it's like a sweet peanut butter, so it's really good. Unfortunately, the funnel cake wasn't too good, though. The person making the funnel cake wasn't doing very good because it felt like almost like elephant ear on the bottom of the funnel cake instead of like strings. So that was kind of weird. But still good at the same time. And then right after we ate the funnel cakes, we decided to take her out on the wipeout, which seems like a terrible idea, right?
Greasy food, the wipeout. Yeah, I don't see what's wrong with it.
Yeah. It's insane, wipeout, by the way. Like, holy crap.
I haven't been on theirs at all. I know that it replaced, I want to say, the Music Express for them.
I have no idea. But it was almost as insane, if not more so than Knoebels.
Really?
Yeah. I've never heard anything program.
About ride there, honestly. That's good to hear, though.
We were just sitting there eating our funnel cakes. I'm like, that thing looks really, really fast. And we decided to take a run on it, and it was a lot of fun. So
I think because the standard cycles at compounds on the flat rides have never typically been outstanding. Like, you know, the Music Express, they stopped running it backwards. I think the model that they had was not rated to go backwards after the derailment of Six Flags New England when it was Riverside in 96.
Oh.
And then the Enterprise never ran more than like a 90-second cycle. Same thing with the Wave Swinger. The Flyers at compounds are infamously not very good.
I think they've sped them up recently, though.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I haven't ridden them since they did, but I rode them a few years ago, and it was like the most boring flyer ride I've ever done. Like, I probably got no more than 15 feet side-to-side motion.
Just a quick aside, my buddy Kyle and I, the last fall that I was living in New England, so this has been 2007, we bought Lake Compound's Fun Passes. They didn't have a real season pass program at the time. You'd buy this ticket for like $85, and then they would they basically clip holes in it, and you were allowed to go 10 times.
Oh, yeah. I think Kennywood did the same thing at some point, right?
Yeah. And we ended up using like 8 of our entries in October, and we did nothing in the park. Literally nothing. We would go in like after work at 6 o'clock, and we would stay until closing every 8 straight times that, you know, park was open. We did nothing but ride the Flyers.
Really?
Okay. And our mission for October was that one of us would get one snap.
And how'd that go?
Well, we were able to, I think on like the 7th or 8th trip, just before we ran out of our punches, we were able to get a snap.
Oh, well.
One single solitary
good.
Sound of plink from the cable. That was it.
So wait, no Boulder Dash rides.
Yeah, we felt incredible amount of accomplishment.
Wow, I wouldn't be able to keep myself away from Boulder Dash.
Yeah, it was, you know, honestly, it was kind of stupid that we were doing that. But I think, like, it was one of those years where Boulder Dash was running kind of crunchy. And
yeah, I never rode it during that period, so.
So, you know, it was like, well, we've got these passes, like, what should we do to hang out? It was like, we're gonna snap the Flyers at compounds.
Must have made really good friends with the operators.
They would let us go for a while. Eventually, you know, they picked up on it. And so, you know, it's set on a preset cycle.
Yeah.
Once you press the button. So one thing that you can do is, as long as you keep your foot in the dead man, you know, if the cycle light turns off, you can just press the button again. There's a little bit of a gap in terms of the cycle times then. And then, you know, usually when the ride starts to slow down initially after the engine shuts down, you know, and this is true of any of the Flyers, you can usually get, you know, kind of exaggerated movement, and that would help us out a little bit. I think that was probably the key, honestly, was that we started to get like triple rides and quadruple rides towards the end of the year in this desperate attempt to make the ride do something. Anyways, that was just my story time, my late compound story time.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we ended up with like 8 night rides on Boulder Dash. So
that's a much better use of time.
Yeah. It was very excellent. Oh my God. Something about the crowd at like compounds, just something always happens that just pisses me off. I don't know. They just seem very self-entitled sometimes. Like I've gone from Six Flags to Slick compounds and been more pissed off at the visitors there than Six Flags New England, which is amazing in my opinion. But no, we went up to the station platform one ride, and we see that there's a group of six, and they all decided they wanted to ride by themselves in a row. And they're like, and we're like, can one of you please group up? There's no other extra seats. And they're like, well, it's not that busy. And we're like, well, it's busy enough that we can't get on this one. And they're like, no, we really want to do this. I'm just like, dicks. What the hell?
You know what? I'm almost certain that at some point in my life, I was probably line cut by like Aaron Hernandez. The murderous tight end from the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the kind of like, well, that's like, it's like, who's a famous resident of Bristol from recent history? It's like, oh yeah, the NFL player that murdered 3 people.
Oh.
Like, okay. So in my mind, like that's like the quintessential Bristol person at this point.
All right.
Like,
so
like a triple murdering tight end.
So you understand my opinion there a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think, you know what, honestly, is like a lot of parks get, like people are really down on the crowd, and the most popular one I think that gets this is Six Flags America.
Yeah, and that's not the problem. There's nothing wrong with the park. It's just the crowd.
Yes, that's what I was getting at. To me, I think a lot of the complaints about the crowd at Six Flags America, there's an underlying racial component to it. And
oh, definitely.
It's about compounds, even though it's like predominantly like, you know, like white people, essentially. Mm-hmm. But they're really dick white people.
Well, it's also Connecticut. Yeah. So, yeah.
they're people from Connecticut, but they're not even from like the rich part of Connecticut. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they're just dicks. They're just mean people. And,
at the same time, every time I've ridden Wildcat, they're like perfect, but they only fill up like one train of people, and no one's telling them to do that. Like, and then they'll stop like right before you get into the station, which I'm perfectly fine with. I hate an overcrowded station, but it's just like no one, and I've had this happen to me multiple visits. It's like everyone follows in, fills up every single seat, and then the last person stops at the entrance to the station, and it just keeps repeating. I don't know how that happens.
You know, I'm trying to remember if at any point, I feel like we may have only allowed so many people in at one point to fill in the rows. And the only thing I can think of is that it's like some sort of archaic knowledge that's been passed through the generations. Even after they stopped that practice, like God knows how many years ago.
Yeah.
That people just like automatically assume that it's the same. And like somehow their parents, like it's into the genetic code. Or, you know, like it's like how some animals just know to migrate. Like the people in that region know to stop at that specific space in the queue line and not fill up any additional rows. But yeah, no, that's actually completely true. That happens all the time with that. And it's really irritating because then there's
you
a lot.
You feel like you can't wait for a back or front seat.
Back of the train.
Yeah. But that wasn't a problem that day.
Hopefully they have that problem again soon. I would like to hear about Wildcat operating again.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. You know, GCI trains being on a PTC built structure.
Well, PTC built the original structure, but...
I know what you mean, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the structure that's there is really Denon Summers, isn't it?
But they pretty much just rebuilt it piece by piece.
See, I've heard different things.
Me too. Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, let's not do that. The short version is, if Denon Summers did do anything to it, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but anyways, after that we decided, we haven't had enough, over the last 2 days. Let's go down to Orange County and do a fair.
I told you about this fair.
Oh, you told me about Rockwell. You didn't tell me about, or did you tell me about the fair too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I looked up Rockwell and then I found the fare. Yeah. Unfortunately, all they brought was their Orient Express.
Okay. Did you get the Orient Express at least?
Yeah, we got one credit. So it was, I mean, I knew there'd be at least something. They have five coasters. I knew they'd bring at least one of them, even if it was a kiddie coaster. But it was all redeemed by one of the most insane zipper rides I've ever been on. Yeah. So, God, I love a zipper ride. I love a zipper. There's nothing good.
Like it.
What?
There's nothing like a good zipper ride.
Well, if you want to think about the cleanliness of the cage, that's the only thing that probably skews me out a little about those things. But you know what? You just got to get past that, right?
Yeah.
Who knows that there's lice in that headrest, literally headrest.
Have you ever seen the video, by the way, of the wet model in Australia?
What?
The first five zippers that were ever produced have a higher rotation speed.
Okay.
So if you look at it, so like the nickname for them is the wet model because people tend to throw up.
Oh dear.
Much more. So if you look up for the video of the Australian zipper, the rotation of the boom, I want to say instead of being like maxing at 7 or 8 RPM, maxes at like 13.
Oh dear God. That's
awesome. Yeah, it looks wild. And I think there's like one or two and they're both on the road over there. Kind of like how there was like a Chance Turbo that was out in Australia. I think might still be on the road in Australia.
What's a Chance Turbo?
It's similar to a Chance Radar.
Okay, what's a Chance Radar? Okay.
I'm trying to explain Chance Turbo.
It's all right. I'll look it up.
If you picture, God.
I've seen one. I can't picture what the heck they are.
Oh, there hasn't been. The last Turbo that was in America was at Old Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So there hasn't been one operating in the U.S. on a regular basis in 20 years. There's one being rehabbed right now by a California fare company, and they want to put it back on the road. There were a lot of issues with hydraulic failures on them, and they weren't particularly popular. But a lot of the people that rode them considered them to be like the ultimate of the classic 1950s, 1960s flat rides, even more so than the zipper. They had basically these two wheels. So it had like a three axis, and all three axis had 360 degree movement. So you were in a pod, like this little circular pod that was fully enclosed in, kind of like a zipper, and that could spin all the way around and flip over. And then it was attached to this disc that was, you know, perpendicular to the ground, and that would spin all the way around, kind of like, I guess, maybe like a Ferris wheel might. And then that was on a base that also rotated 360 degrees. And yeah, just look it up. I mean, they were a thing. And the Radar was a similar ride using the same base and chassis, except instead of fully enclosed cars that could totally flip, it used...
Oh, dear God, I've seen this ride before. I just looked it up. Oh, those things look insane.
Yeah, yeah.
No wonder you had a problem trying to describe what the heck it is.
My buddy Kyle, that I went and rode the Flyers with at Compounds years ago, somehow tracked down the maintenance booklet for a Chance Turbo. So I still have it on my hard drive in PDF format, all like 300 and something pages of it.
I don't even know how someone sits in one of those vehicles.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, there's one that's being rehabbed that may hit the road again in the United States.
Yeah, you definitely just Google Chance Turbo and you'll get stuff right away, so... Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said, Australia is where you can still find it. Man, it's one hell of a ride. At least looks that way, and everybody that's been on it says that it's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Mm. Anyways,
then that was it for the day. Next day on Sunday, last day of the trip, thank God, because this was fun, but it was a lot to do in three and a half days. We started at Boatcraft Amusement Park in Scotch Plains, New Jersey, which is, if not closing this year, closing soon. They're losing their lease because the city wants to build condos or apartments. I don't know, something on there. So, and you can tell because, they have a Zaire, family coaster with trains that are pretty much identical to Revolton at Busch Gardens Williamsburg without the theming. And when you look out from the station, the turnaround, you look right in front of you, there are houses, like, literally right next to the roller coaster. So it's kind of a crazy, neighbors must love that place is closing. Yeah, so, yeah, we hit up that place first, I took a ride on that, despite riding it years ago. It was a fun ride. It's somewhat forceful, and I'm sure I'll find a new home, that's for sure. It's a small little amusement park, you know, not a lot of thrill rides, probably, you know, 5 acres at most. Cute little place, definitely. It's right next to a national park, so, man, it's probably an awesome combo if you have kids to go to the national park and do some hiking and then go to the park for a few hours afterwards. They also have a Dragon Wagon by Wisdom, which has a really steep lift hill. It's like, it goes straight up. Like, most of those are like, you know, gradual one. It just goes like straight up really quickly. It's kind of odd for a Wisdom. But anyways, then we went to the low height. I'm lost for words. I'm sorry. We went to Keensburg Amusement Park in Keensburg, New Jersey, which is like one of the first shore towns on the Jersey Shore. It's not even facing the Atlantic Ocean, really. It's like facing New York City, basically. If you look from the roller coaster, you can pretty much spot the apartments that are behind the cyclone. And I like trying to find something positive about any place I go to, but I really can't. This place is... first of all, it was hit really bad by Sandy, probably second to Seaside Heights. But it's just ugly. And, I mean, we were going there, and I was just reading some of the Yelp reviews, which I don't do very often, but I was reading some of them, and they were like, this place is a dump, it's unsafe. I'm like, you know, okay, this is probably just some people thinking, you know, they see a little thing and just automatically assume that, you know, these rides are not being maintained well. But I might tend to agree on some of that. It's like someone posted a picture of a kiddie ride with exposed wires within it, you know, like for the little button that makes the buzzer noise.
That's bad.
And it was posted like a week ago. And then I went up to that kiddie ride. I'm like, yep, there they are. Like, if you're the park and you see that and you're, first of all, if you're the park and you're not checking your Yelp reviews, you should be. But if you see that, you should probably be fixing that, like, immediately.
Yeah, that's bad.
There's probably nothing wrong with it, but they're hanging down. Like, what does it take to get something to strap them up? Not much. So, just little things like that. All the rides were supposed to open at noon. Of course, the roller coaster didn't open until 1. And when it did, it took one cycle of people on it, and it broke down. Then I had to go all the way back to the parking lot and refill the meter. I fortunately had the kiddie coaster credit from years ago, but apparently they have this weird. I don't know. I've seen people on Coaster Count who've gotten the credit recently, so I have no idea what's going on. But my buddy wasn't able to ride because apparently adults are only allowed to ride with their child if they're between the height where they need an adult. So like between 36 and 42 inches. And we saw one child go up, and he was above 42 inches, but he was too scared to ride alone. But he was okay to ride with his dad, but they got turned away because of that. Because he wasn't allowed to ride with his son.
I don't know what to say about that. That's just...
I understand if it's like 54 inches tall, but like, you know, no. He was a small child. Like, I can see why he'd be scared, and, you know. And they're made for that. Like, right. I have no idea why they weren't allowing them to do that. But at the same time, I went on a coaster count, and you can see when some people have ridden most recently, and there are people who have gotten the credit within the last month. So who knows? Probably was an operator who didn't give a crap, probably.
Yeah.
So
did you manage to go on the Looping Zyklon then?
That's the reason we were there, and I'm so glad I did, because I have absolutely no desire to return to this place ever again. We went up there, and there were two seats available separately because so many of the seats were broken. And the guy was like, "Do you want to wait to the next one?" And I kind of lost it at that point. I'm like, "No, I just want to get on so we can get out of this crap hole." which was kind of a mistake because it was the back row of one of the Pinfari cars, which are very small. So the little bar that you're supposed to hold on to your hand was kind of just banging to my knee the entire time. So that was probably the worst part of it. It wasn't all that rough, to be honest with you. But yeah, your standard Pinfari Looper. He wanted to, that's the whole reason we went there, because he wanted to try a Pinfari Looper. He'd never been on one before, my buddy. So, yay.
You know what? I'm happy to hear that it's not so bad. I rode it a long time ago. That ride has been a lot of places.
Yeah, it was at Beach Bend. Then it got moved like 100 feet to build the Rumbler.
Yep. Then it got sold, and it was at Sauble Beach in Ontario.
Yep. I believe it still had the Beach Bend logo on the front of it when it was operating there.
And then Sauble Beach just like closed out of the blue one day. Matter of fact, my recollection is that there were a bunch of people that had gone up there for like a TPR event.
Okay.
And like they were like in town because, you know, like they're going to be an event. And then, of course, people were like, well, it's in Ontario, even though it's like 5 hours from Toronto, we'll just go to Sauble Beach. So they all drove up there the next day and they got there and it's like, oh, we're dismantling everything because we're done. Like,
oh, thank you for posting that.
Yeah, that would have been really nice to know. But before it was at Beach Bend, Amusements of America owned it.
Oh, okay. Oh, amusement. Oh, okay. That and, Amusements of America.
And then it actually was loaned out to Conklin Shows, which is now part of North American Midway Entertainment.
Sure.
Ran it at Big E, at the Big E, and I want to say 99. They brought it there because I think they just determined like it was, they didn't feel like it was necessary or financially viable to bring up Doppel Looping that year. So I went to go ride Doppel Looping and ended up being greeted with that instead. And I don't think there's any more disappointing moment as a coaster enthusiast.
Oh, God. Skorshkov for a Pinfari? Yeah.
than that. I ended up having to go to Yonkers Raceway the next year to finally get on Doppel Looping, which was worth it.
And that's no longer traveling, right?
That has disappeared into the ether. No one even knows where it is.
Probably sitting in a field somewhere.
Yeah, the rumor was that they had sold it to an operator in Pakistan.
Okay.
And then like that was like apparently was put into shipping containers and that was it.
No. Yeah, that's pretty much disappearing to nowhere.
Yeah, it's in the void. So yeah. It was not particularly good at the Big E. Everybody that rode it at Beach Bend said it was pretty decent, so they obviously got better rides on it than I did. And to the credit of Beach Bend, the Orient Express issue from last year, the year before, you know, aside, when that just collapsed on itself.
Okay.
They generally take good care of their used stuff. They have they do a pretty decent job of maintenance over there, and so I figure they probably had some rehab done to it first, where they opened it up at their park. They definitely
bought new trains, if I remember correctly.
It's when those rides are okay, they're okay.
Yeah. Anyways, that's enough of that.
Yeah, but the point is,
don't go to Kingsburg. That's the point.
Yeah. Did you guys do the walkthrough? Because I heard that they redid the walkthrough at least.
Yeah, we were intrigued by it, but at that point we just wanted to get the coaster and get the hell out of there. Yeah, we had no desire to do anything more or give them any more money. I'm sorry, it was just bad. Funny. I mean, it just was. It was, you know, it felt run down, but without the charm that you can kind of get out of Lake Mon or Lakeside or Conneaut Lake.
Yeah, I haven't been there in 17 years, so I can't speak very much to it.
Well, you have both credits, so don't go.
No, I mean, that's true. I do have both credits. And I even have the credit that used to be there, the Wildcat.
Oh, yeah, man, I missed that. I went when I was there, was standing but not operating for a few years, and then it reopened, and then I never got there before it got damaged by Sandy. So we're talking about a Schwarzkopf Wildcat.
Yeah, it was a decent ride.
It was always fun.
The park, even, you know, now we're talking about nearly 20 years ago, was never a looker by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, well, Sandy didn't do it any good, for sure.
That's too bad. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's kind of, I don't know, it's the best location asset, I guess, might be like
closest to New York City. Yeah.
Or to the Quick Stop grocery. It's pretty close by, I think, from what I remember.
Okay.
That's about it. It's not It's not a great location. The park isn't very good.
Anyways, because of all that delaying us so much, it took us forever to get through the Long Island traffic up to Adventureland in Farmingdale, New York, on Long Island. Which, you know, I thought, you know, being a passenger driving to that place would be a little better. It was just as bad being a passenger. I decided to take most of the time by taking a nap because I just couldn't, like, oh, Long Island. Man, it's the reason why people never leave Long Island when they live on Long Island.
They can't?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an all-day experience just to get off of it.
They've just, it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome. Like, they just...
they're just like, the greatest
I'm
thing
done,
ever.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much trouble to even get to Islip to fly out of here. I'm stuck.
And once we got there, you know, it's busy. It's packed. I've had that before. Last time I was there last year, it was really busy. They have a Mack Spinner that was built 2015.
Sounds right.
Which is absolutely excellent. Probably my favorite spinning coaster. Like, it is so good. A little short, but what it does with the length, it does really wonderfully, and it spins very, very well. It definitely worth the headache getting all the way out there for the turbulence. The park's very charming. It's really tiny, so if it is crowded, it doesn't take very long to seem well overpacked. Since we got there so late, we decided just to get tickets for the rides that we wanted to ride instead of getting a wristband, because... after that, you know, we decided to go to Coney Island, and we wanted to get the most out of a very expensive wristband. That was mainly the main reason we didn't stay at Adventureland very long.
That's fair. You know what? Just really quickly on Long Island Adventureland, a couple things on that park.
Okay.
You know, like you said, it's a very small park. I want to say it's like 9 acres or something.
Yeah, I imagine so.
But they've always had a very interesting mix of attractions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, their log flume is, oh, God. I want to say it's like Revachon or something that made it.
It looks about right. Because it kind of looks like a portable model a little bit. It's not portable, but it looks kind of portably.
And like the vehicles themselves are different. Like the load system is a little different than you would expect for any log flume.
Yeah, I wanted to ride it this time. I wanted to ride it last time, but the line is just always very long. So unfortunately, I have not taken a ride on it. But,
your dark ride is getting replaced at the end of the year.
Yeah, I saw that, and that made me sad because I would have liked to have tried that, but that line was insane. That looked to be at least half an hour.
I'm trying to remember, what do they have for flat rides now? Because they don't have – the Surf Dance is gone.
Right. That was replaced by the Carowinds model. They got the Electro Spin. What are those called? Top Scan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had one of those for a little while. I think they had an incident, unfortunately.
Yes, they did. The restraint popped. They had a bad week that week.
Oh.
They had that where someone they threw the person in the parking lot.
Oh, dear God.
And then like 2 or 3 days later, they had a ride operator get almost cut in half on the Orient Express, I think is what they have for their kiddie coaster.
No, Ladybug. Zaire.
No. They had a Wisdom kiddie coaster.
Oh yeah. That's now. We rode that. That's at that Blackbeard's Cave.
Oh, they moved it there. Okay.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was looking it up while we were traveling. I'm like, oh, that's where that. That's oh, okay. That's where that went.
Yeah. So that same week, it was one of those where like the operator was standing in the middle of the track when the train came through.
Huh.
So it was like 2 weeks later. So that was a bad week for that park. Really bad.
Yeah.
I want to say was that they may have had an operator death on Ladybug as well at some point too.
Yeah, because I don't think those two rides existed because the Wisdom was gone the first year I went, which was Preservation Conference. It was gone. It was removed the year before, prior, and I think they added Ladybug in its replacement. And then Surf Dance was still there, and I think the Top Scans were. That was the replacement for Surf Dance was the Top Scan. So, I don't know.
Don't they have one of those, I want to say that they're Mack rides. It's like...
Yes, they are Mack rides. I do not know the model name. I was hoping you did. It's the same thing that's at the Legolands. stand-up whip type rod. They control control if you go in and out with a little rudder.
Yeah, I just call them the Legoland jet ski ride.
I'm sure they have a model name. I have no idea. This one's themed to crocodile, so you stand on the back of a crocodile. It's called Crocodile Run. It's super cute.
I actually really like that part. I think they've always done little things with their rides that make them a little more interesting than everything else. They used to run their top scan on manual mode.
Oh, wow.
Which was astonishing.
Okay, crazy.
And then same thing, also Surf Dance was actually able to be operated manual also.
I'm sure if you go back to the RC days, you know Surf Dance, the guy that used to post.
Oh, yeah, Chris Collins.
Yeah, and he used to operate that. He operated Surf Dance for Preservation Conference.
Yes, he works. He works at Disney World now, by the way.
Oh, okay. He
lives in Orlando. There was that stuff, and then before they had Turbulence, they had the STC Hurricane. Is that what the model is?
Yeah, I believe that one's now down at Panama Beach City.
Yeah, and
down in Florida.
The trains for that. They got different trains for it. I think for the 2000 or 2001 season.
Okay.
The typical ones have a single lap bar, kind of like the Morgan trains did for wood coasters.
Okay.
Kind of tight for those rides. The ones that they got when they got the new trains had T-bars.
The one at Adventure Park has T-bars.
I'm sorry?
And the one at Adventure Park in Maryland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The T-bar ones are great.
I think that one was the only one. That was the one that used to be at Old Town in Kissimmee. And I believe that was the only one that was built by Zamperla. So maybe those trains are Zamperla?
They might be.
Okay.
The T-bar restraints with that ride are great. So that's actually a cool layout.
Yeah, it's super fun. The one that Premier built definitely is the best because they smoothed out some of the rough transitions. The one that's at Six Flags Over Texas, Runaway Mountain, that's enclosed. But yeah, they're super fun. And that one drop that is a crazy twisted, near 90 degree drop is always get you.
Always.
Yeah,
so Coney Island. We'll go to Coney Island now.
Yeah, finally, coaster enthusiasts can pray to the coaster gods. Thank you. Thank you so much. They finally have a wristband that includes Cyclone and Thunderbolt.
It's what, $70, I want to say?
Yes, it's $70. But we rode the Cyclone and the Thunderbolt alone 12 times combined. So that would be $120 alone.
Well, you got your money's worth then.
Yeah, and that's not including everything else we did. So, yes, Cyclone is running fantastic. Whether you like the slight changes that GCI has made or not, it's still a fantastic ride. We got mostly, our first ride was basically almost, it was the sunset ride, and the rest of them were all at night, which, now that Coney Island's been cleaned up, I feel safe to actually be there after dark. You probably couldn't say that 15 years ago. Yeah, it's just fantastic ride, great airtime. Unfortunately, we didn't get a ride towards the back because they were kind of loading front to back, and there wasn't ever enough demand, even though they were running one train, to fill up towards the back. But the insane laterals is crazy, and there's a reason why we have seat dividers now. I'll just say that much. The amount of sliding back and forth between the seat slides, it was almost painful at some points. After a few rides, I was actually just pushing myself to the side that I knew I was going to be slammed into, so I wouldn't be sliding from one side to the other. Yeah. Coney Island is just so nice now compared to what it was. It just, Central Amusements, which is run by Zamperla, has done such a wonderful job. And the uncertainty that place went through for a little while, with maybe being developed into condos at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God. And it's thriving so much better than it was, and you feel safe, which is the biggest thing, in my mind. You go to Dino's, and when you go to Dino's, you still feel safe, but you feel a little bit less safe, I think, compared to all the stuff that's run by Central Amusements. I mean, Cyclone itself has two security guards posted by the time we were there. Same with Thunderbolt. So, they're making sure to protect their patrons, which is, I think, is very important. another thing that's like night and day is their Volare, the Soaring Eagle, after riding Superflight. By the way, that name just makes me so fun. It just makes me laugh every time I say it.
Like, Superflight?
Superflight.
Superfly.
It's like night and day. We rode it a second time because we wanted to. It just tracks through there so smoothly. You watch the cars from the ground, and you at playline you just see them jerk around the turns like they're being forced around the turns. Where you see the one at Luna Park, you just see it gracefully go through the turns. So
that's so weird to me because.
Yeah, it was rougher when it was at Six Flags Yields Gardens, too. That's the funniest part.
It's not like it's new. It's the first one.
Yeah, it's the prototype. They have this weird little mechanism now. I don't know if it was when it was added, but it's like it's shoulder straps, and then it's connected to the bar that lowers down, the cage that lowers down, on your back. And mm-hmm. it cinches down on your shoulders, so it kind of doesn't feel like you're like – rocking around in the cage as much when you're going around through the heart lines. So I think that might be a little bit of a, might help it out too, because it feels like you're more secure in there.
Yeah, instead of being like in a box, it's being shaken by somebody.
Yeah. There you go. They also have the Zamperla motorbike called Steeplechase. Just mm-hmm. a lovely name for, a homage to what was there at one point. And those motorbikes are super fun. I mean, I would love every park to get one of those. What do you think about the motorbike tech coasters?
They're decent rides. Last one I was on was at Darien Lake. It's good.
Yep. Yeah.
It's probably the second best coaster in that park. Either that or the Boomerang, which is weird.
Oh, Darien Lake. Yeah. Definitely probably the second best.
It's one of the top three coasters at the park. It's in the top half of admittedly a pretty low end collection, but they're decent rides. I don't hate them. I'm also not necessarily like super enthusiastic about them. Like if smaller parks got them, I think it's a good addition. But like for instance, I know a lot of people are way into Tron.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be great when
much more advanced ride because it's a different ride system than what Zamperla has, but. I don't know. I'm not quite as excited about it, as some people are, I guess.
Mm. Wait, Tron itself?
Yeah, I mean, just the concept of like a giant or like a really big motorbike coaster that does more stuff, I guess, is not like intrinsically bad. I'm just not. I guess I see those rides as being like kind of like your C ticket sort of attraction in any park.
Wow, strong words.
I work them up to like an e-ticket. Oh. I don't know if I buy it. Maybe it's a bias that I have, in my head that would be easily, erased if I ride Tron. But I just don't see them being able to impart the kind of forces that like a really impressive top-tier roller coaster should. And I don't know. Like, I guess you can theme anything with enough money to be interesting.
Oh, I think Tron will be spectacular just because of the theme.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of the screen stuff that's done inside the building is pretty cool, and the exterior of the building is interesting.
Tron's such a fun franchise, It's just, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. I guess my point is, they seem like good complementary attractions. They're fine rides. I have nothing against them, but I just I would hate to be in the situation where it's like, my park was only going to get one of those for the next 10 years.
Okay.
Something else.
Oh, and, well, if you're talking about Darien Lake, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But
yeah. I mean, I'll put it this way. If I were a Darien Lake local.
Oh, God.
Which, no offense to the people of Buffalo. I feel bad for you guys But at the same time, I don't feel bad for you because you still have Fantasy Island and Seabreeze nearby.
Silver Comet, yeah.
Yeah. So you actually have good rides still in good parks. But if you were a Darien Lake local and that was like your primary park and where you got your seat, I would probably trade the motorbike for a second train on Superman.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Anyways. So
I guess that's my mentality of those rides. Like, I think they're good complimentary attractions, but
I'm just surprised there haven't been more built, to be honest with you.
I only wonder, maybe there's like a cost in the operation in terms of the energy draw for shooting that thing off that I don't know about. Mm. I mean, it's a Zamperla ride, so...
It's just an electric motor with a flywheel. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not to stereotype Zamperla as being cheaper rides, but it's a Zamperla ride.
Mm.
So, you know, I can't imagine it costs that much money in the grand scheme of things. So I'm also kind of surprised that they aren't more popular. You'd think that you'd see a lot more of them, like on the Jersey Shore or parks like Lake Compounds or Kennywood. Would seem to be obvious places to put one. Adventureland in Iowa seems like a good one, but you know they've been around now for well over a decade. You know, whether it's the Vekoma version, the Intamin version, or the Zamperla version, and not a lot. I mean, you know what it could be too is that a lot of people that are in the industry that would be looking at rides for investment, if they've been on one, the odds are good they've probably been on Pony Express at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, which is extremely short.
Extremely short. Pretty much the most nothing ride.
It's fun. It's just short. Yeah.
That's okay. It's like short's like an understatement. It's like a 15-second cycle.
Yeah.
It's really, really short. And you know, I can see if you're like, you know, should we buy something like this? You ride that and you're like, yeah, I don't think I'm
gonna. Anyway.
Anyways, Coney Island.
We did the Tickler, which is the Zamperla Crazy Mouse.
Okay.
And this one's fantastic because at their second switchback at the top of the coaster, they release the pin and you start spinning after only two switchbacks.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we had one ride where we went completely backwards down the big drop, and we had one ride where we were spinning crazily going down the big drop. Yeah, it's fantastic. I wish that's how they all operated.
Also a good homage as well, just as Steeplechase is.
Yeah, to a Virginia Reel, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely what they were going for that park. What else did we do? We did the Wonder Wheel, which is always excellent. Beautiful sky when we were riding. It was like sunset and beautiful sky with a red sky going on. And, oh, it was just gorgeous. We did the Spookorama.
Excellent.
And we got off of it. Oh, I didn't really want to ride it. My buddy did, and he was like, I can't do it alone. So I'm like, okay. He's like, if I buy your ticket, will you go? I'm like, sure. And then afterwards, I decided to buy the on-ride photo because it was hilarious. You just see me, like, because I kind of knew when the big scare was going to happen. And then you just see him, his hands are all over his head, like you know, like scouring, like, oh my God, it's awesome. Yeah, that ride, it's old school. It's like a pretzel type ride, dark ride, operating since the 50s. It just has a couple of really good scares. I don't even want to talk about them because I don't want to spoil them in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, a lot of good jump scares, and it was a fun ride. We got some Nathan's because when in Coney Island, why wouldn't you?
Right.
Although I didn't get any hot dogs. Got the fish and chips, which was actually really good. Then I got it had to be like a 24-ounce beer for like $8. So I was okay with that. It was a Coney Island lager. It was good.
Was that at Nathan's rather than like Ruby's or something like that?
Yeah, we went to Nathan's.
Okay. I didn't even realize they sold beer there. That's incredible.
Yeah. I have a small selection of bottled and draft. Okay. But I was like, I want a beer. I'm going to get one. So, yeah, and the food was really good. You know, had the signature fries that they had, the crinkle fries, which are half the reason I got the fish and chips, because it was like, I don't really feel like a hot dog after yesterday at Lake Compounds. That was too good. But, yeah, it was good. And then we went and did a couple of rides on the Thunderbolt, which I enjoy. It's a little jerky, but I don't find it painful like some people might. Have you been on one of those yet?
I have not. I haven't been to Coney Island in quite a while.
Okay.
I really ought to get back because there's a bunch of rides there for me.
Sure.
I am very interested in Thunderbolt. You know, it looks to me like, I guess, the pain of the ride, if you know, anybody points at that ride specifically being painful, must be related to the position of the lap bar. I mean, it has like straps for an OTSR.
So. Yeah, the straps can be a little, since I'm pretty tall, the straps kind of were a little annoying. But, and they sometimes like really put the lap bar down hard on you. Like one of the attendants one time just put all her weight down on it. And at first it was like, oh God, this feels like Sky Rush. But like, whereas Sky Rush, once it gets tight, like that feeling does not go away. You feel that the blood is being cut off to your lower legs. Whereas Thunderbolt, after a few seconds, I didn't even notice it. So okay. It's a weird restraint. I mean, it's like a fiberglass restraint with a fiberglass seat, which is perfectly molded to like the shape of the human body, but it's still weird.
Yeah, so there's no foam over? It's just all fiberglass?
Yeah, it's just fiberglass. There's no injection foam.
How would you compare it to, like, because you've been on T3 at Kentucky Kingdom, right?
Oh, God, those things are terrible.
Yeah, see, that's when people are talking about, like, oh, it, like, crushes my legs. Like, I think of Sky Rush partially, but Sky Rush I was able to, like, figure out ways to alleviate it to some degree.
Yeah, no, T3 is the worst by far.
Yeah, T3 is like a mammogram of the legs, like...
And another bad thing is the first time I've only rode it twice, once per visit. And the first visit I did, I rode in the front seat. And since it has no, I don't know what you call them, crotch retainer, like, you know, the little thing that sticks up between your legs to like yeah. make sure you don't slide forward.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have that. And as freaky as all hell, it doesn't have that because it feels like it should. And what happened on my first ride was I going down the first drop, you know, you hang there a little bit. So I slid forward and then hit the bottom of the first drop and it cinched down on like my legs and my stomach. So it was like it was not fun.
No, I don't yeah. know that was a particularly well ergonomic design of that restraint.
God, no. Those things are terrible.
Okay. So as long as it's not that bad, then
no.
Yeah, if it's somewhere better than Sky Rush, then I'll be perfectly fine with it.
Yeah. I think it just a lot. I think it just really depends on individual case by case. I can see why some people might feel it's uncomfortable. I don't get where it's like the painful though, but you know, everyone's different, I guess. Right. I enjoy it. I hope to God that when I ride the one at OWA next month, that they've smoothed some of the transitions out a little bit though. That's my hope though. Because I know they had a lot of issues with the track segments lining up after the first year, and they had to go in and scaffold around all the track and like grind things down. And yeah, there were a lot of issues with that first one, which is probably why it took them a while to sell another one.
Credit to them going and building a big looping coaster of some sort, though. You know,
they did good. I mean, it's a Zamperla, and it's like we enjoyed it. We were like, wow, you know, this is a Zamperla, and we're loving it. I mean, everything at that park is in Zamperla, and we're loving everything. I mean,
yeah.
I think it also is to be with those rides are wanting absolutely perfect in the best shape they could ride, because that's a show park for Zamperla. It, you know, they run it, but it's also a place where they take their clients to see, hey, what do you want? Take a ride and pick what you want.
It's kind of strange that, you know, Mac has their show park like near the factory.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in this case, they have their show park, but it's in New York City.
Well, there you go. It's in New York City.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, it's you know, the hub of the financial world.
There you go. Yeah.
But, you know, at some level, you'd be like, well, why didn't they just put it in Italy? Well, I guess New York City has a much better economy than Italy does for a new built park. So, plus, they were getting, you know, obviously assistance from the government over in New York City to come in.
Oh, yeah.
I always find that it's kind of weird. Like, oh, yeah, we have our show park for our Italian company in New York.
And they also run the one in Central Park.
That's right. Yes. Yep. Yes.
Which is mainly just kiddie rides. But, yeah, but they've been doing that for much longer. They've been doing that for, like, 15 years or so. So, but
you guys do, obviously, he was there for the credits. Isn't there a Wacky Worm with a
Yeah. I was trying to push him to go do it, but he didn't want to spend the time. Yeah, it's like an exit is the exit closer to the Verrazano Bridge at Adventurers Amusement Park. It's called the TL3 coaster, which I have no idea why. But, yeah.
Is this the park that used to be Nellie Bly?
Yes, yes, yes. It seemed busy when we passed it, so they seemed to be doing just fine. Because you can see it from the highway.
I've never been to Nellie Bly or whatever it's called now. And,
I've been there for about 10 minutes.
One of those, like, you got the credit and left sort of things.
It wasn't anything terrible. It wasn't Keensburg.
the new rating system.
Yeah, it wasn't Keensburg.
On a scale of 10 to Keensburg, where does this rate?
Way above it. It's a small little park. It's only a few acres large, and you know, it's got a Wacky Worm. Like, I remember it has like a Muse Express, pirate ship, you know, your standard fare type rides.
Yeah,
but yeah, it seems to do all right. But anyways, the one last thing, not necessarily in this order, but one of the other things we did was the B&B carousel, which I had never done actually. They bought that from the city because it was originally located on like Surf Avenue, right?
Yeah, it was actually, it was right, it was kind of across from the Cyclone, like near that strip mall, if it's still there.
Other side of the Surf Avenue.
Yeah. It was.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of like it wasn't directly across from the Cyclone, but, you know, it was within like visual range of it.
Right. And then they were, you know, it was a chance that it would be broken up.
Yes.
When it went to auction, and the city stepped in and bought it, and now it's operated by Luna Park.
Yes.
And Central Amusements. And it's included in the wristband. I don't know if it was before, but it now is. I don't think it was, actually. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. So we took a ride on it. Forgive me, but I forget what kind of carousel it is or the year or anything like that, but it is absolutely gorgeous. It got its own carousel building right near the parachute tower, which is also beautiful, by the way. It just lit up the parachute tower. They've spent so much money and like two rehabs on it and a ridiculous amount of money on it. I forget the numbers on it, but it was, you look at it, you're like, wait, they spent that much money on a tower that doesn't do anything? But it's an icon to the Coney Island. You know, it's just as much of an icon as the Wonder Wheel is, pretty much. And they've lighted up beautiful LEDs, and it does its whole programming thing, just like the Ferris wheels, that, you know, all the programs that Ferris wheels do today. Mm-hmm. And it's just gorgeous. And kind of, it's just, Coney Island's great. You know, it's, you know, I'd love to see a baseball game at that baseball park sometime. The actual one was going on, but it's just amazing what Zamperla has done for Coney Island.
It's there were a conflation of factors that all kind of worked together, and you know, I remember in the mid 2000s, like, definitely Coney Island was not in the best shape then. Before Thor Equities started to purchase up the territory. And basically drove Astroland out of business.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that can improve. I mean, the area where the old Coney Island Thunderbolt was, which I believe is still owned by the daughter of, Lord, what is his name? There was a developer that used to own all the Kansas Fried Chicken locations in New York that had purchased that all up. A bunch of Coney Island real estate wanted to turn it into like a casino.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to look this up. It's just like, I have to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, part of that land is now Thunderbolt, so.
Yeah, part of it is, but there's still a chunk of it that's owned by them.
Yeah.
Horace Bullard, here we go. Horace Bullard's daughter owns the majority of that land.
And she wants a ridiculous amount of money for it.
A ton, an absolute ton. I mean, like, an amount of money that it's clearly not worth.
And yeah, you could never put amusements rides on it and make your money back on it.
So it's, you know, it's, there's still things that could be done there where, you know, if somebody can talk sense to the Bullard family and get them to sell it at a more reasonable but still very profitable amount, you know, and get that vacant space and turn it into something, you know, amusement development related.
Yeah. I definitely, you know, could see another wood coaster.
Oh, easily. Absolutely. Another wood coaster, a larger steel coaster, or I mean, there's really any number of different things you can put in that space. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and a great thing about Lunar Park is that they're constantly, I don't think anything this year, but they're constantly switching out rides because they want to showcase their new thing.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously, you know, the older stuff ends up elsewhere in the country.
Yeah, like the Supernova at Great Escape used to be where the Lunar 360 is now.
Yeah. And then I want to see, like, the air race that was at Coney Island ended up at Fun Spot for a little while and then went somewhere else.
Oh, and now I think they just have a bigger air race.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they switch out a lot of stuff, which is cool. So it's still kind of like the old Coney Island in that way, except much higher rent. Like, not nearly as many, like, toothless carny types trying to convince you to go ride the jumbo jet.
Yeah, you still have that one little section of independent rides that is, like, right next to Dino's.
It's a very small section.
Yeah, it's, like, four rides, and it's like, oh, do you want to spend $8 to ride a Himalaya-type ride? No?
Yeah,
no?
I think I'm good. I think I'm okay.
Yeah. Or do you want to spend you can spend $25 to ride all four rides, saving $7.
Oh, what a deal.
I know. That was
Coney Island. but no, I'm really happy that Coney Island has turned things around so significantly.
I am happy that there are still a few of the freak shows, though. There's only a couple, but I'm glad that there's still just a little bit of that still left.
You know what would actually be really nice for that area? And this, again, you know, going back to that empty space, it's a few acres over there. Would be like an indoor amusement center of some sort.
Okay.
You know, just because, you know, right now, obviously, everything is pretty much outdoors in that. So to add something that was indoors.
Yeah, they're already trying to push the Cyclones operating season as far as possible.
Yeah, you know, then that extends it into being a 12-month destination for people in the city, and I think that would be great. But
and they already have the hockey arena that's right near the parachute tower, so there's something for people to do after, you know, hockey practice or something like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, go a little bit further down the boardwalk and the aquarium's open 12 months.
Yeah, later, so. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that would be a terrible idea. So
there you go. There's my idea, New York. Convince somebody that doesn't want to sell to you, and then build an indoor amusement center.
And that was about it. Otherwise, my buddy went to Dollywood yesterday and got stuck on the train for about 2 hours.
How did he get? What happened? It just like died.
As he said, the engine blew up.
Oh no!
One piece of the engine literally did blow off, and it lost all steam pressure.
Oh!
And they were almost to the top of the mountain, so everyone had to walk down, and it's like 700 people. Some people don't have mobility because they're disabled. That's not funny.
That's horrible.
I know.
Dollywood, that's a bad thing. That park has a lot of people with, like, mobility scooters and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was with his like, niece or something, because that was her, like, one of her, like, graduation gifts and everything, and they get stuck on the train for, like, 2 hours. Apparently, Lightning Rod was running slow yesterday. Tomorrow, it'll probably be running too fast. Who knows?
The travails of Lightning Rod.
Whistle is running, I guess.
Yeah, at least it's up, right? Like, there's not the sign flashing out like, sorry, Lightning Rod's closed for the season.
But it's been up and down a lot the last week, though. He's obsessed with checking the app. Like, at one point he didn't have his phone and he was getting like I could tell he was getting antsy about it. I'm like, here, I'll download the app. Here you go. Get your satisfaction and see what's going on with Lightning Rod.
It's down again. Who could have guessed? Actually, you know what? I feel really bad. I love that train there, man. That's such a good train.
Oh, yeah. Apparently it was, it just came out of rehab. And so, you know, probably something didn't get. Whatever. Who knows? Yeah,
somebody forgot to tighten a bolt somewhere. Well,
apparently one of two, I forget the names that he told me, but one of the two trains he was told has more issues with the other, has more ghosts in it than the other. So that was the one. But that train ride's amazing. I mean, definitely better than Silver Dollar City. I mean, both are excellent, but man.
By the way,
did you think that would be really fun walking down from up there?
Did you ever look at, we talked briefly about Nellie Bly a couple
okay.
ago. Did you ever look at the RCDB for that park?
Yeah, the Flash, right?
The Flash, yeah.
That thing's so weird.
Who did that? I wanted to get up there.
It looks like Pinfari, but I don't think it is. It
operated for like the last 4 years of its existence.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. That park actually had a dark ride for a little while. That park has had stuff cycle in and out too. And I've been wanting to get up to Nellie Bly for forever.
I believe she, after she stopped running the park, she works for Martin Vemlex now, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in sales. Okay. So,
you know, probably, I'm sure that there were some limitations to the budget and that.
Sure, sure.
Oh, and since the last time that we recorded.
Hershey Park?
Which was yesterday, when we first started doing this podcast. I saw that there's another SBF Visa spinning coaster.
Oh, what? Another one?
Another one.
Yeah.
Moving into a Craig's Cruisers location in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So.
Oh, no, that one's been on there for a while, actually.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, I get you, though. Like, we'll check back next week. They'll probably be up to 55.
Yeah, you know, I should start doing a running tally of SBF Visa spinning kiddie coasters.
It's not even counting the ones that are starting to go through the fairs. So.
Yeah, we're just like the new permanent ones, like three more this week. It's almost like an inflation.
It's not even like it's in the United States either. It's worldwide.
Yeah, it's everywhere. You know what? Actually, this is. If there's an economist out there listening, and I know that there isn't, try to create like an index based on the sales of SPF Visa kiddie spinning coasters.
God, and they came from nowhere. Like I don't know anything about them, and I want to know more. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I feel like they've always just built like cheap rides.
They're like the next. They're becoming like the next Zamperla.
Yeah. It's like they. To me, like, okay, this is just my quick opinion here because we'll be wrapping up for this portion of the podcast very shortly. Whenever I think of Italian rides, like, to me, like, you can spot an Italian ride immediately when you see one on the fairgrounds because it has like a cheap look to it of like
lots of fiberglass,
lots of fiberglass and plastic, and like the most garish paint job humanly possible, like lots of metallic paint, like really sparkly paint in like 10 different colors on small vehicles and like a horrible backdrop that, you know,
may or may not be a copyright infringing on copyrights.
Oh yeah. No, there's at least 5 copyrights that have been infringed upon in the painting thereof. And it's painted by somebody who is really into psychedelic drugs. And like, so you see these rides and you're like, that's an Italian ride. Like, I don't even know who made it, but you just know immediately it's Italian. Like, there's no question. And SBF, like, and whenever I've seen SBF rides, like, you look at it, go, yeah, it's an Italian ride. Again, not to stereotype Italian rides, but whatever they've done with this particular ride and the fact that it has blown up more, I can't recall any ride system. Any rides, even like the Wacky Worms. Like Wacky Worms, tons of people built them. It was fairly simple. Like this.
I mean, the only thing I can think of that had this much success in this short amount of time is a Rock and Tug.
Yeah, the Rock and Tug did really well, really short time frame. But I don't even know if it took off like this. Like 50 plus installations in like less than 3 years.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you pump out that many rides. Like, where did they get the capacity?
Just think about how many cars that means. Like, each one has four cars. That's 200 plus cars that they've manufactured. I mean, think of the numbers here. It's like, I don't think they even sell them. They just keep on making them. It's like, okay.
Like, they must have, like, did they bring it out to IAPA and, like...
Yeah, they bring one every year.
With, like, 500 orders, and they're like, well, what are we going to do now? I wonder if there's a backlog. Like, if you were to call them and be like, listen, I really want one, how long is it going to take? Is it going to be like, oh, we got it in 3 weeks?
I don't know. I mean, they definitely, they're probably practically doing them at an assembly line at this point.
Here's what I'm going to do for a future podcast. I need to contact SBF Visa. They're going to get phone calls. Oh,
please, please do, man.
Because I need to talk to them about, like, how, what did
you do? Pumping these out so fast.
And how did you sell so many? B, how can you meet that demand?
I mean, granted, they are really fun rides. I mean,
they're really good. I like them a lot.
They're like the first kiddie coaster that I don't feel
shame
embarrassed to ride.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you buy a ticket for, like, you get on it and you're like, I don't feel like a bad person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going on a sex offender list.
No.
For being on this.
Yeah, I'd love to see an extended layout too. That'd be cool.
Well, they have two different versions of it.
Yeah, the three loop, which actually I don't like as much. I rode the one at Beach Bend, and it doesn't feel like it does as much because it's the same height. It just has two lift hills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have preferred like a bigger lift hill and then more
like a custom layout of some sort.
Yeah, or just something a little bit taller than like 15 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a mission for this week when I feel motivated.
Well, please do, man. I just would love to know about the company's history, where they came from. If they're, I mean, I would be surprised if it's a bunch of former Zamperla employees, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No. That actually wouldn't. You know, that would make a decent amount of sense.
Especially with contacts that they probably, if they were former, Zamperla employees, just the contacts alone.
I just want to know how they can pump them all out, like. There's no way they were selling this many rides before.
No, I mean, who heard of them before, like, last year, practically? Yeah,
like, there's a couple, like rides, like, what was it? Didn't they build, like, the traffic jam sort of ride? It's kind of like a Hustler, but obviously much more garish.
I mean, they have those little small looping, like, 360, like, you know, like... You know, it's you sit in a circle, it's like a Frisbee, but it goes upside down, but it's a really small ride.
Yeah, it's got like a seat for four or whatever.
Yeah, Quasi has one, and Rehoboth Beach Funland has one. And then you got the Over the Top, which hasn't fared so well for them, actually. But I don't know.
Didn't they just all get shut down?
One at Pigeon Forge opened and then closed a month later because a girl fell out.
Yeah.
That's... And Knoebels was built, and I do not believe it has opened. It was like just about ready to open. I think that happened and that's been stolen. So, but beyond that, and then, you know, there's like a random flat ride that Six Flags New England put in last year from them. And, you know, it's just like, and you get the reverse time at the Quasi. I think they put another kiddie ride in at Quasi. Apparently loves them. So, so you know what's coming next at Quasi at some point soon. SPF face the spinner.
You get an SPF Visa spinner and you get an SPF Visa spinner.
Yeah.
The only people that aren't going to get an SPF Visa spinner are the official parks owned by Central Amusements in Ireland. Though I suppose Dino's could get one.
I don't know where they put it, but I don't know either.
Somebody else could get one there. God, yeah,
I feel like Rehoboth Beach would be a perfect place because they've never had a coaster. And I mean, that place is – have you ever been to Rehoboth Beach, Funland?
I have not been able to make it there.
You have to. I've
been to Maryland twice, and both times I wasn't able to get up to Rehoboth.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I finally did it this year, and it's the haunted house with the – you know, it's a haunted house with a hanging suspended vehicle. And you go up and down stairs, and like, it's fantastic.
I've heard really good things about it. I want to go. It also has like,
man, it's like
kind of like one of those things where it has limited hours. It's a shore park, so it's like you want to go on like a Saturday, and that's like, well, it's open from 5 to 10.
Yeah. The Haunted Mansion typically doesn't open till 6. Everything else opens earlier, but that one for some reason opens at 6, and you know, but. Yeah. But yeah, the place is really tiny, so I could see them fitting one of those in there. But, you know, I just would love to know about this company because they've just come out of nowhere, you know. And their rides seem decent enough. I don't know from a maintenance standpoint of how they are. But, yeah, definitely get on that.
I'm just going to give it a couple seconds of silence. Because then what I'm going to do, because I know this is not going to go up this week. Since I'm going to do Fantasy Island,